This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After beating the Flyers last evening, they play Philly again, this time at home. Puck drop a little over 2 hours from now, right here on The Fan. In 1 hour, Thomas Dimitroff, the former general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, will be joining us. He's worked with Dan Quinn and Adam Peters. We're going to look ahead to the NFL trade deadline and what Washington should do with Dimitroff coming up at 6 on G&D. But it is time, as it always is, on this Wednesday at 5 o'clock to blitz the division. Jerry Jones has not been in the news nearly as much this week, which is, I guess, a good thing for the Dallas Cowboys. But a guy who knows a thing or two about that, because he works at our sister station in Dallas, is Kevin Hagelin, middays, 105.3 The Fan. Kevin, you guys catch any shrapnel from Jerry's firing anybody this week, or everybody okay?
Nobody's been fired yet. But, good. You know, every day is a new adventure. Yes, there's been plenty of blowback. Lots of people have thoughts. And here I was really hoping you were calling to talk about the Mavericks or the Stars' good start.
Maybe a different time, a different podcast, a different section. But what did the Cowboys need this bye week? Did it come at a good time, or could they have used it later?
Yeah, I think it did come at a good time, but I might have to like reevaluate that question in 3 days because Micah Parsons didn't practice today, and I get that that's part of the process, but if Micah Parsons is not good to go against San Francisco, then you're like, okay, so we got an extra week off to do what? Not get that much healthier and still go up against a team that's had our number for years and years and years?
You mentioned having the number. I mean, San Francisco is a team you'd rather play now than in a month, probably. I kind of like the timing of getting them. No Debo with pneumonia at this point. Ayuk out for the year. They're a mess right now. It's a prime time game. I feel like it's winnable for Dallas.
Yeah, the thing I struggle with is, and I appreciate the kind words, I would argue pound the under on this game if you're a betting person, but I kind of struggle a little bit to see how the Cowboys are really going to rack up points against the physicality of that defense, which I know has only been mediocre this year, but Detroit laid out the game plan. They said in a podcast, the game plan was double team CeeDee Lamb and they got nothing else.
I'm looking at Dallas's schedule, and this is one of the reasons why I thought they would take a little bit of a step back this year, Kevin. The teeth of it here. Now, San Francisco's not the team that we thought, but a lot of frisky teams, we look at, you know, Falcons, Eagles, Texans, you know, Washington's, whatever you think of them, but the Giants, Bengals. I thought this would be kind of a tough time for Dallas to be able to get back to that 13-win plateau. What's your eye line right now for the season?
Probably 9-8. And I could see how some people might think that is optimistic. He can make a pretty strong argument that at least for the next five games that they will not be the favorite, if not all five. So this is going to be a tough run. You know, you hear the same message kind of week in, week out, year in, year out, best football's ahead, and so forth. We'll see in this game because they just got straight up embarrassed in the last game. So we'll see what happens against, like you guys said, a pretty hobbled San Francisco team.
Talking Cowboys, blitzing the East. How about Brandon Aubrey? Was not at practice. He was busy determining innocence or guilt. He had jury duty today.
Okay, this is going to be a really weird thing I'm about to say, and you guys might never want me back on the show again. One of my dreams in life is to get selected for jury duty. I have been to jury duty numerous times. I have never got picked to be on a jury. I would really like to do that.
I think it would be cool.
It depends on the case.
How does it work? Here's what I don't get. I have buddies that have been selected like four times, that have been, you know, asked to come down to be a part of the process like nine times. I've never gotten one invitation. It's like I don't know what list I have to even be on. I've never received
a
single
thing.
You've
never even been summoned?
Not one time.
What?
Is that, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird, by the way.
What list am I supposed to be on?
That I don't know.
What do they base it on? Like, do I not have
a valid driver's license?
That's what I thought it was.
I'm now wondering about that. Maybe I haven't had a valid driver's
license. They don't have your new address or something? I was actually on a jury for a minute, Kevin. I'm just minding my business. And next thing you know, like, they called 14 names. And I'm sitting in the jury box. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm, like, on this thing. And like, I'm being examined. Like, people are asking me questions. I'm being voir-dired or whatever it was. And I was like, I don't know if I want to be part of this. It was like a really boring, like, did this person potentially defraud a couple of people financially? And I'm like, oh, my God, I already fell asleep. So I don't know that I'd want to be on that.
So you're looking more of the aggravated robbery, kind of more like intense crime that you're looking to get on that
jury
for,
right? He wants a true crime documentary series.
Yeah, like if it's a cool case, not, you know, I don't know how to say that better, like, because I'm sure there's real victims, but you know what I mean? If it's like something intriguing other than like, we're going to prove malfeasance through these series of numbers in a spreadsheet, I can't do that, you know?
Sure. You can't just say, like, I'm here to punish malfeasance for malfeasance's sake.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would go over super well, but so you're looking for a case that'll turn into a podcast is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Yeah, you want to be able
to. Like, if we're going to do it, let's really do it.
You're going to be interviewed for a podcast afterwards. I do want to sneak in, though, on Brandon Aubrey, going back to that for a second.
Yes.
What do you think is the longest field goal he could make in a game and, like, might actually make this year? That dude is such a weapon.
I legitimately think at some point this year you're going to see him kick a 70-yard field goal, and I think he can make it. Now, that might depend on if it's at home or, you know, what the weather conditions are like, but you saw it when he kicked the 66-yarder that ended up getting a delay of game. It was good for a little bit of a ways.
Yeah,
and
easy.
Then the problem with this Cowboys offense is they have struggled to get the ball past midfield, so you've been in these positions to kick these ridiculous field goals.
Kevin, thank you, buddy. Be well, man.
Yes, sir. See you guys later.
And
you got
good
it,
luck,
dude.
By the way, on Operation Be On a Jury.
Get on the jury.
Thank you. I'll report to you guys first.
Please do. Thanks, buddy. Hit that Eagle sounder, please.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tom Kelly joins us, who talks about the Philadelphia Eagles an awful lot. That's why he's going to talk about the Eagles with us. Tom, I've made the case that this Eagles team is not out of it yet. They're going to get their act together with a soft schedule coming up, and they're going to be right there in the NFC East. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of weeks have been a lot better, especially from the defense. I mean, two games in a row, it is the Browns and the Giants, so you got to take it with a little grain of salt, but I haven't allowed a touchdown to either of those two teams. The offense still doesn't look completely right. But these last two games, really encouraging from a defense that was pretty bad the first 4 weeks.
Has Saquon Barkley been as great as his numbers look so far this year?
Yeah. He's been incredible. And I was very critical of the signing. I thought, hey, you know, paying a running back that kind of money in today's NFL, it's not going to be worth it. I was wrong. I mean, Saquon's incredible. And the more this season goes on, the more it appears the Eagles are just going to have to run their offense primarily through Saquon and throw off that, because he's just such a special player. He certainly showed it last week in New York.
Is this defense good? I mean, you referenced it. You get fed on a couple of bad opponents. Washington's done the same thing. I just can't tell. I mean, a couple of years ago, they set the universal record for sacks. It was unreal. Last year, a step back. This year, I just don't know. Is this defense good?
It's really hard to evaluate. I would say they're average. Like, when it really comes down to it, that's where I think they are. I mean, they have some really good players on the back end, especially the rookies. Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean have stepped in, done a really good job so far this year. Up front, the pass rush looked really good against the Giants. Now it's Daniel Jones, Giants offensive line. I mean, I think that's where Howie is probably going to look to upgrade at the trade deadline if a premier pass rusher is available. But the last couple weeks have been really encouraging after a really bad performance in Tampa Bay, 8 sacks last week in New York. So things are certainly looking up for the defense.
To the point of the trade deadline, you mentioned where they might be looking to upgrade. How aggressive do you think they'll be? Do you anticipate them going out and making a couple moves?
Well, I mean, it's Howie Roseman. And Howie Roseman is always looking to make a splash and improve the team. Now, I know they've been linked a little bit to Cooper Kupp. I don't think that makes any sense. I mean, You guys know they just traded that three for Jahan Dotson before the season started. I think if you're looking to upgrade, it is on the defense. And, I mean, I don't know. You look at a team like the Browns, a team like the Raiders. If their season's just totally going to tank, if Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, one of those guys becomes available, I mean, I'd have a hard time thinking how he wouldn't aggressively pursue those options.
How's the offensive line? We're used to that group being just incredible, and I get the sense they're playing well, but maybe not what we're used to seeing. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, man. I mean, we've been spoiled with the offensive line over the years. Jason Kelce retiring, we thought might be a huge deal here, but Cam Jurgens has stepped in. He's done a good job. Now, they're without Jordan Mailata for the next couple weeks. That's going to be a big blow. But Fred Johnson, who stepped in as the backup last week, at least did a good job. I mean, I think Mailata is expected back about 3-4 weeks from now, so they're going to have to make do without him. But with this easy schedule, maybe you can get by. And the offensive line has played really, really well. And that's been an encouraging sign, considering that was a question mark heading into the season without Kelce being there.
Do you guys in Philly anticipate winning the division at this point, overtaking Washington, or are there plenty of folks that think the Commanders will win the East?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if I'm betting my money, I'd still bet on Washington. Like, I still think they've been the most complete team over 6 weeks. And, you know, Jalen Hurts needs to play better, bottom line. I mean, he's been okay. He's cleaned up the turnovers the last couple weeks. But right now, I mean, you guys know, the quarterbacks usually make a big difference. And right now, Jaden Daniels has been the best quarterback in the division. If he's healthy, I still think Washington's got to be a favorite right now.
Tom, wherever the most, like, I don't know how to describe this right there, but you'll know what I'm getting at here. Wherever the most, like, hardcore Philadelphia fan hub is, right? Imagine that local sports bar. Nick Sirianni walks into that sports bar. What's the reaction?
It's interesting. I mean, I think it's mixed. With Nick, it's really week to week. I mean, after the Browns game, it's a bad win, all the nonsense at the press conference. People wanted him fired last week. I mean, probably a bit of an overreaction. This week, though, I mean, they played well. They seemed to respond. It's settled down a little bit. And that's the thing. With the Eagles, when Nick's at the top of the storylines, that's not a good thing. If he's in the background, that's much better for them. So I think things have calmed down. I think people are okay with Nick generally, but it really changes week to week. He's a really weird guy to evaluate.
Tom, thank you, buddy. Great info as always.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
Thanks, pal.
It.
Let's keep the Blitz of the Division going. And our friends in New York are picking up the pieces after another blowout loss. Patricia Train is with us to break it down. Covers the Giants for SI. Patricia, we have been waiting to chat with you. We love having you on. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Well, you're well.
Better than the Giants this weekend. That was pretty ugly.
Yeah, it was.
Offensively, is it, like, do you think they'll score 10 points again in a game?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's funny. This team has been like a Jekyll and Hyde this season. They do well on the road, where they're averaging, you know, somewhere around, I think, close to 20 points per game. And then at home, if you look at it, they're 0-4. They barely got to double-digit points. They're averaging something like 7 points at home. So they've been a Jekyll and Hyde offense.
How has Daniel Jones played overall?
You know, it's been a weird season for him. He's looked good between, you know, weeks two and through five, you know, the Seattle game. And you started to think, okay, maybe now he's settled down. But then the last 2 weeks, he just has gone back to you know, caving under pressure, to making bad decisions, to overthrowing receivers. So it's the lack of consistency in his game that I think drives people, you know, battiest.
But this defense is really good, even though the offense is doing it no favors at this point. The D is playing very well. Who's playing the best, and why are they so effective?
Oh, it's got to be Dexter Lawrence, hands down. I mean, without question, Dexter Lawrence leads the league in sacks with 9. And the great thing about that is he's been facing double teams on virtually every pass rush snap that he has played. And he has still found a way to accept the challenge and overcome it. And, you know, I think that's just a question, you know, that you can attribute that to the fact that the man has sheer will. You know, I've asked him about that. I said, why is it that you're able to overcome these double teams? He says, because I want it. You know, he just got very stern and said, I want it. And so you believe it. You believe it. You see it out there on the field that he is not going to be stopped, and he could care less if you put a bus in front of him. He's going to find a way into that backfield.
Grant and Danny blitzing the East. Patricia Traina is with us. I did not realize he had 9 sacks, by the way.
He's unbelievable.
He's unbelievable. Ridiculous on a bat. Like, they're not even leading in heat-seeking missiles at the end of games either. That's a big deal. So where do we go from here with the Giants? Like, Dable's safe, I would imagine, but what about Shane? What's the deal there?
Well, I think if I had to take a guess, I would say they're both probably safe now. Are they on solid ground? No. I think the biggest problem with Joe Shane has been his draft classes. They have not come up with home runs in those draft classes. Now, this year's class looks pretty good, but, you know, we were saying the same thing about his 2022 class and his 2023 class. And now, you know, having had a few years to look at them, it's like, okay, who amongst them is really, you know, a solid stud that you can build around? I do think that, you know, ownership realizes that you can't change the GM and the head coach every 2 or 3 years. That's just not going to help anything. But, you know, look, give them an opportunity to draft a new quarterback, to develop a quarterback. At this point, as much as I hate to say it, Daniel Jones is washed. I think he needs a fresh start elsewhere. I think the Giants need a fresh start. And I do think that that's going to be the big storyline coming up in the offseason.
Where are the big plays going to come from on this offense? Like, is it even possible? You look at some of the receiving longs for the year. It's a lot of teens. You know, there's like a long of 14, a long of 19 for some of their better receiving options. Is there a way for them to generate some big plays, trick plays, just something to get the ball, you know, out of their own end zone, basically?
Yeah, I mean, maybe switch the quarterback. I mean, maybe go with Tommy DeVito. I mean, look, Daniel Jones, for whatever the reason, you watch his game and you get the impression that he doesn't trust what he's seeing. You see him double pump, and then you see him hold on to the ball too late. And when was the last time you saw him hit a receiver in stride consistently? You just don't see that. And that's what a good quarterback needs to do. That's how you get those explosive plays. When you have your receiver have to stop to catch the ball, that allows the defender to catch up with him, and that limits the yards after the catch.
So you're talking about going to Tommy DeVito, possibly. You might do that if you were coaching.
What's that?
You would do that if you were coaching. That just, to me, Patricia, seems, I don't know. I mean, I think that guy stinks, but I guess it doesn't matter because Jones isn't doing anything either.
Well, I mean, look, last year, look, would that be my first option? Probably not. But I don't think Drew Lock is the answer. With all due respect to Drew Lock, he's a great guy. I'm not sure he's the answer. And we did see Tommy DeVito last year make a few plays and win some games. So, you know, look, if you're looking to win some games and maybe, you know, shake things up, who knows? Maybe he's the option. I'm not saying he's the best option. I'm not saying he's the long-term option. But, you know, unless Daniel Jones has an epiphany, I don't know what other direction they can go in. It's not like, you know, they're going to get their franchise quarterback in here off the streets tomorrow. That's not going to happen. So, you know, if they want to win games, they're going to have to seriously think about, you know, what they're going to do. And don't forget that injury guarantee in Daniel Jones's contract, too, is looming as well.
Patricia, thank you as always. Have a great week.
You too.
Good info. Thanks, Patricia. And there you go, our blitz of the division on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.